Oh, yeah. You got it going?
Yep, it's going. All right. We'll call to order the Bunkerville Town Board Advisory Board meeting for September 11th, 2025. And we'll have Brian Haviland give us the invocation, and I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father, Heaven, we are thank thee for this day, and thank thee we can be here, grateful for our great community and the opportunity we have to serve them. Help us to make wise decisions, to be able to help those in need, and to be able to always do what thou have us do it. We say, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
And pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And present on the board tonight are Laren Abbott, Brian Haviland, and Verna Pollock. Justin Whipple and Casey Anderson are excused. All right. Public comment for anything not or that is on the agenda by anyone in the public.
Okay. If you're not able to stay for the item.
Yeah. Item 3, approval of minutes from the August 14th meeting.
I'll move that we approve the minutes as written for August 14th, 2025.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item 5, informational items. Receive a report from Andrew Bennett.
Very good. Thanks.
Wait a second. Approval of the agenda.
Oh, sorry. I skipped one. Approval of the agenda for tonight.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda for September 11th as noted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right, Andrew. No, sorry.
Thank you so much. Just by way of background, I haven't had the opportunity to spend much time here in Bunkerville, but my name is Andrew Bennett, and I'm the Director of Traffic Safety for the entire county. I've been here at the county for the last 3 years. We're one of the few municipalities that has a sole office focused on traffic safety. I'm not in public works, but I'm in the office of the county manager trying to ensure that we progress our traffic safety goals as much as possible. Previous to this, I did 7 years at the state police in their Office of Traffic Safety before coming here to the county. With me today, I have my colleague Danny Fizikas from the RTC. We're going to go over this project, pretty high level, but happy to answer any questions and then to answer any questions about any of your guys' concerns out here as well. But this is the project that we're about to talk about is a once in a generation opportunity to really solidify what we hope to achieve in traffic safety. And so when I signed on board to work with the RTC on this project, it was important to me and the commissioners that we hit every corner of the county. And so again, just hopefully have a conversation here at the end, go over a few slides, and then I can answer any questions that you guys have.
Good evening, and thank you for letting us speak today. Daniel Fizikas, F-A-Z-E-K-A-S. RTC of Southern Nevada. I'm Transportation Planning Manager with the RTC. I'm going to go over a PowerPoint that we've been presenting to the town boards, town advisory boards over the last couple weeks, and just go through a few slides and then hand it over to Andrew to talk more about the Clark County portion of this. But the project I'd like to go over is called Safe Streets for All Southern Nevada Action Plan. We branded it Let's Go Safely. If you go to the next page here, we had our public kickoff of this project earlier this summer. And this project is basically showing all the different partners, all the different jurisdictions within Clark County, police and fire as well. And I want to emphasize, it's the entire county, which is different for RTC. We usually do the more urbanized Las Vegas area, but the mandate of this is look at urban, but also rural too, and how people walk, ride, drive to work, drive to their grocery stores, ride their bike. How can they make it safe for their community? And that was kind of the mandate on that. So the next little background on it. So RTC applied for and received $1.7 million through what's called the Safe Streets for All grant program. That money for that program allows communities to plan for and then actually build safer countermeasures when it comes to getting around the community, especially when it comes to driving, walking, riding your bike. And then next slide again is just showing the entire county. This is new. This is new for us, and that's why I just wanted to give a shout out to Andrew, is that he's really made sure as a partner in this project to make sure that we're talking to everybody. So scheduling these meetings with the commissioners, with the town boards, making sure that we're talking to everybody and getting your feedback, because that's critical. We're just starting this project now in the public phase, although we've been working internally for over a year now. This is our public part, where we're making sure that we're hearing from rural communities as well as urban communities of how to get around. So Andrew could provide some more details on what's affecting our community in rurals as well as urban.
And so on the next slide with the chart, we talk about kind of where we're at in traffic safety. Unfortunately, we've headed in the wrong direction. And it's more than just population growth. Our population growth is rather stable. We hope to continue that. But the fatalities are outpacing that population. And so we hope to reverse that trend as much as possible. You know, first we want to slow that growth rate and then maybe, you know, head in the other direction. So far this year, I went to a fatal last night. I go to every fatal that happens in Clark County to ensure that we can learn as much as possible. And, you know, we're seeing a lot with motorcycles. And so the second stat that I included on there with the 54%, for the first time since we've been keeping track of fatals since the early 90s, the majority of people that are dying outside of vehicles. So it's pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcyclists that are the ones disproportionately being killed. And so that is a little bit of our focus, because we want to make sure that we're focusing on, you know, where the largest problem is. And so on the next slide, we talk a little bit about how we're approaching traffic safety now. You might have heard like the three E's of traffic safety: education, enforcement, and engineering. We still plan on approaching it that way, but we're also adopting what's called the safe systems approach, which was really brought here over the last few years. And one of the key things that we're looking to do is to build a redundant system. What does that mean? The best example that I can give is out in Laughlin. We had two pedestrian fatalities on the stretch of Bruce Woodbury. And I'm like, why are we losing pedestrians there? Literally nothing's out there. And so I went down for the second fatality and I saw that there's the only thing on that south side of the road is the bus stop. And I'm like, well, why are we putting a bus stop where literally nothing, you know, and it's right across from the VFW and some apartments. Now, could we just move the bus stop? And so now there's no longer that conflict. And luckily, you know, we were able to achieve that. We just moved the bus stop and it's a lot safer for everybody. So if we can eliminate that conflict as much as possible, that's really what we're hoping to achieve. But with that comes the uniqueness of all the towns. You know, there's a big difference between downtown Las Vegas and out here in Bunkerville. We want to respect that as much as possible. And so what we're doing, we put together a map. And the reason I didn't include the map was because Bunkerville is not on the map. And that's a good thing.
Usually the way it is.
I want to respect that. You know, there are some streets in Mesquite that made the map. And you can go to the website, which we'll talk about at the end. But I didn't want to put this big map of Las Vegas out here and, you know, get the question, which was a big thing from the commissioner. But we largely know where fatalities happen. You know, we have about 3,600 miles of road in unincorporated Clark County. We broke that down and 32% of those roadways contribute to 77% of the fatals. So we know where, but that's also, with that said, we don't want to ignore the other roads as well. And so what we're doing right now, as Danny said, this is a project that has a goal of a completion of May 2026, which is the timeline on the next slide. We're currently in phase one, which wraps up at the end of this month. We do have a regional survey. Historically, I haven't been the biggest fan of surveys because I don't want it to be just a government document or a government survey that lives on a shelf. But what's unique about the survey is this is the first time that we've actually asked people what they think of traffic safety. I've spent my entire career working in traffic safety, and we've had great conversations, been to every Rotary Club in all of Nevada, all that. But we're really intending to have a conversation about what do people think. We know, again, like I just said, you know, in the townships, you know, some of the opinions are different. depending on where you live, whether, you know, everybody wants streetlights or nobody wants streetlights. We want to look at what that is. And this project is going to have recommendations of how we move forward. It's not going to be the final say, but the public feedback is critical. And so what we're asking, the point of us, you know, not just updating you, but the ask that we have is the website is Let's Go Safely. We included the QR code. The survey will be open until end of September. We do want a rural contingency to fill out the survey, not just for us to have a box to check, but I'm honestly interested. When you listen to the zoning items, you know, you'll often hear, you know, development's a key issue because with development comes some of those infrastructure projects. But we want to make sure that we are customizing this plan to what the opinions of the community are. And the best way for us to get that feedback is through the survey. So we'd appreciate it if you guys can share it out, with your friends and family, with any additional community groups, and Danny and I are happy to answer any questions.
Curious what percents of e-bikes and stuff like that. I'm sure that's shooting.
No, absolutely. That's a great question. So it's gotten to the point where about 2 months ago, the county passed an ordinance that goes into effect on October 1st to address e-bikes and e-scooters. The biggest problem that we're having pretty much across every corner of the county is the e-motorcycles.
Right.
You know, because they're up to 28 miles an hour with pedals, it's an e-bike. If there's no pedals, it's an e-motorcycle. And those aren't defined by Nevada law. And so we had to kind of make a workaround with that ordinance. And I'm happy to pass it along and make sure you guys can see what's in there. But essentially, the biggest thing that changed is kids under 18 have to have helmets on an EE device starting October 1st. That was a rather significant policy change. But I think I've been to probably just in the last 2 months, 6 or 7 fatals that involved e-devices. And so it's definitely on the rise. Micromobility is exciting. You know, we've spent most of our career trying to get people out of their cars, you know, and, you know, use the bike, use a walk, you know, build an environment that people want to use. We just got to make sure that they're doing it safely. And so it's definitely a focus of ours.
So not so much a question, but we have our trail out here and I do bicycle. Mine's not an E. I'm the only motor at the moment, but I look forward because I see older people and I'm getting to that group and they're out there on their e-bikes.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's good. They're out and about. That's a
yeah.
good thing. But then I read the sign on the path that says no motorized vehicle. And I'm like, that's got a motor. But then I've read the counties or I've read the recent thing and there's speed limits to those. It says you can only go this up to this speed on an e-bike on a trail or a path or a, you know. And so I think, well, that's good. But I don't know how many of those people know that because I'm riding and then grandma's going past me,
yeah.
you know, or coming towards me. And sometimes I'm like, oh, wait, do they see me? Are we okay? And anyway, it's more of a...
Has there been a press release regarding that?
Yes, so we did one as soon as it passed. We thought that, and probably shouldn't say this on recording, but we thought that the ordinance went into effect within 2 weeks. We actually needed to wait till October 1st because some state legislation passed that we couldn't pass a civil ordinance until October 1st.
Oh.
And so a lot of that bill is civil, so the civil effects will go into October 1st. So we do intend, leading up to October 1st, doing a lot more, so you'll see it soon. And then we're also making the FAQ a little bit more clear on the website. And then I answered that question in town the other day. The speed limit's only going to apply if it's posted. And so we need to do some work on our trails to ensure that folks know that. But to your point, it's not fair that people might not know that. And just like road needs to be posted for us to enforce the speed limit. So education and some minor engineering improvements like signs will make their way through. And then they're absolutely allowed on the trail. We want them to use the trail.
Sure,
we just want to
yeah.
use them safely because we're excited that people are extending their use of being outdoors,
which is
really exciting about the technology.
And those signs were put out there kind of before e-bikes were exploded.
Exactly.
E-bikes were available, but But now they're really popular.
And well, and the, so we did get clarification on that sign. The sign, the only thing that's considered a vehicle, a motorized vehicle, is going to be those e-motorcycles. Those aren't going to be allowed. The e-bikes with the assist and everything is still going to be allowed.
Yeah.
So that class 3 is an e-motorcycle?
No. So class 3 is still an e-bike, but the biggest difference is if it actually has pedals. Because a lot of them just have, the e-motorcycles just have the pegs.
Yeah.
And so those are going to be the e-motorcycles, but that definition doesn't really exist yet by state law. So we know that we have some work to do on that, but class 3 is still allowed. Class 1 through 3 is
class only. 3, you don't have to use the pedals though, right?
Correct. But it has pedals at least. Pedals. And it's supposed to be peaked at 28 miles an hour or 700 watts. Again, I don't
unless
expect...
Unless you buy the little gearing that you put on the...
Exactly. You know, kind of a website you can recommend. But no, the long story short to about that ordinance, unfortunately, a lot of it's going to come down to liability. Because the cop's not going to pull you over and look at your sticker, you know,
right.
Unless they need to. But the problems that we're having... We needed to put the safeguards in for the kids. We had 143 kids hit on their way to or from school last year in Clark County. And disproportionately, they were involved on e-things. And so we need to do some protection there. But we're excited that people are using or just getting out of their car.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we want folks to do. And so that's also part of the plan is, you know, we want to make sure that infrastructure, you know, like there's a question... There's kind of a question in there about, you know, at what point would you get on your bike? You know, is it a protected bike lane? Is it a buffered bike lane? Is it less traffic? What does that look like? And again, that's not going to make a hard decision for us tomorrow, but that's going to be something that we keep in mind when we're developing some of these projects. You know, maybe if we do build a protected bike lane, we can get some more kids going to school on a bike, which would be exciting.
I think one of the things that you emphasized in previous presentations was the mapping platform we have in there where you can, a user can go in and say, hey, I have an issue here. But that's not replacing Clark County's.
Yeah, so thank you. That's
important.
I didn't hit my last talking point there. We do have a geolocation tool on there. So, like, if you want to leave a comment, someone in, there's a gentleman down in Searchlight who's on the board, who's very involved. He left 80 comments, which we're excited about.
It was great, though.
You know, because, I'm making sure that the RTC knows that Searchlight exists, you know. But there is a mapping tool. It's the last question. It doesn't replace Fix It Clark County. We still want you to use that for, you know, day-to-day stuff that we need to know about. But long-term, if you're, you know, we were talking about the overpass, the newish one over the 15. I worked on that project 15 years ago, and it's like that comes from someone saying, have you ever thought about this?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we want you to use that tool too at the end of, you know, we'd really like to see this, and it's going to go into the big list and the big spreadsheet. But anytime that we have the opportunity to touch the road, we want to look at those ideas and see what we can do to increase safety and mobility.
So with your comment about 143 kids on their way to school. Are we doing anything with the schools, like educating kids on how to be safe, look both ways?
No, absolutely. Great question. And on the way up here, the sergeant over the traffic unit for school police was texting me, and I wasn't looking at it when I was driving. but I had like 6 texts from him. And so we're excited with the new leadership at CCSD. We've never had much engagement with them, which I think is usually what you hear. I don't know how it is out here with, I'm sure you know your principal very, very well at the schools, but to get the support from the top has never existed. And so we just launched a really focused working group that's chaired by myself, the superintendent, Joan Ebert, and the State Charter School Authority, because the education landscape doesn't look like what it does, you know, what it did 10 years ago. And so we're tackling from now until February, it's all hands on deck, education, engineering, enforcement, and policy. We know that we need to go change some of the laws up in Carson City next session. And so education is a part of that. And we were just talking about on the way up here, CCSD has Safe Routes to School. We want to make sure that they're coming out here as well. And so that was one of my follow-ups just when we were talking. I've been making sure that those resources are available out here, but it is education first. But then also we know we have some problem parents that are the problem in the school zones. Enforcement comes along with that. And so working with our partnerships with Mesquite and Metro and everybody, it is all hands on deck right now for school safety.
Awesome.
The CCS, do they actually work with you?
Yes, now they do.
Because they're terrible to do.
You know, and things I shouldn't be putting on the record. My wife used to be the chair of government affairs, or the director of government affairs for the school district, and I think that opened up a lot of doors, you know. But then with this new superintendent, we do believe I hosted a meeting at Clark High School, and Mesquite came, Boulder City came, every single road owner and every single police department was in one room with CCSD, which has never happened in the 20 years that I've been doing this. And so we were really, really excited to have the support of CCSD. And I'll give you one example, because they wanted everybody in one room, and I'm like, well, I want something first. And so I've never been able to receive bus stop data from CCSD. It's been locked in a vault, and I've been asking it for like 5 years. And so I asked the superintendent, like, as a show of faith, you know, let me see the data. I had it in my inbox the next day. And so we do think that they're, you know, and I'm not trying to do her bidding. Like, you know, we need to make sure that we still educate our kids, and we need to make some improvements there. But we view our role as we can't, you know, those kids can't learn if they can't get to school safely. So let's help them out if they're going to help us out. And we do believe that we have forward progress with the superintendent right now, which we're excited about.
And I guess CCSD, in my point of view, is they don't want to give us anything that we want usually. Like, we ask for a new bus stop, we're going to send a traffic person out, we won't do it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. My kids, I live out on Riverside Road here on the highway here, and they want my kids to come into town. I says, you want my kids to walk along a 55 for a highway? Like, they wouldn't ever come out and do anything. The bus drivers would always pick my kids up. They wouldn't come out and look at it. You know, when our kids do athletics and go down to town, now, instead of letting the kids go, we usually take them out to eat afterwards because they're gone mm-hmm. for 5 or 6 hours. Now they're going to give us two set places that they decide ahead of time, which are not in the best interest for us, and they want to talk to us about it. And it's like, we have places we've been going for years that are safe and everything like that. And this may not be your problem, but
no, so,
that's what my experience with CCSD is there.
And outside of this project, I'll give you each my card. I think the commissioner, Commissioner Kirkpatrick, was excited. We had a similar-ish situation on Nellis and Lamb in town. And Nellis is 3 lanes each direction, 55 miles an hour. And Metro said, can we just move this stop 300 feet south? And they've always gotten a no. We got that stop moved in 2 days. It's not going to be that easy out here. You know, I can't tell you that we're going to fix it in 2 days. There is new leadership over transportation at CCSD. She was a part of our meeting. Just email me, copy the commissioner, and I will at least promise that we'll create the conversation. Whether anything changes is up to CCSD, but we've had really good success with getting them engaged.
That's a good one. I coach 2 sports at the high school. We might be calling you.
Yeah, there
you go. I've coached marching band in town for 15 years, and you know, it's, you know, those kids leaving at 9 o'clock at night. We gotta make sure we're focusing.
We're home at 11 at night. We leave at like 1. We're home at 11.
Yeah.
And they want you to stop at the Taco Bell. It's in the hood, and you're like, I did not want my kids getting off the bus there.
No, so I'll drop my card, and we'll just please email me, and we'll get something going.
Perfect. So one more comment with me from to do with our trails. I've ridden my bicycle up in Utah. And because the trail's not real wide, they have a line in the middle saying, stay to the right. So whatever way you're facing, you stay to the right. And and it's not a concern out here for the trail we have. It's wide.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get into Mesquite and I'm on a trail, and people are with their dogs, and they're all over that trail,
thanks.
Now I'm like, I wish they'd stay to the right. Like it says in Utah, and I don't know if any of that exists in the metro in Las Vegas area, but in part of me is like, if everybody just treated it like a street, my fellow bicyclists and my walkers and dog walkers, then I'd have room on the left. Instead of once in a while I come up on them and I'm like, I'm on your I'm all over you. I can't say I'm on your right or left because you're all over the path.
So part of that is, part of this is
probably
depending cities. Depending on the city parks and rec department or the county if it's a county,
unincorporated.
But I think it's also best practice, and I think what you're seeing up in Utah is something that we want to bring here to Southern Nevada. So RTC hasn't updated our bike and pedestrian plan since 2017. We're actually going to be launching that probably early next year. We really wanted, and it's been a while because we wanted to actually finish the State Streets for All project because it's all related.
Sure.
It's all related because it's getting those kind of buy-in from the community. Like we want different types of roadways, different type of trail networks that so everyone can use it. I think that's definitely a condition that we want to start developing because RTC can't say, "Hey, Mesquite, do it." But if we're showing, "Hey, this is best practice, we should follow."
And this is what's going on in other municipalities, maybe something to think about.
And we'll take it back with us, but if you wouldn't mind spending the 3 minutes and get to that question,
sure.
Put the dot on the trail and just make that comment. It feeds in from now on.
And I know people at the city in Mesquite, and once in a while I go. And it's usually after I've been frustrated with, like, they're all over the trail. I can't, you know, like, and I'm quiet. I don't have a ringer. You know, I should get a bell so I can go when I'm 300 feet back. Bing, bing, bing. Like, hey, I'm coming.
Yeah. An air horn.
Well, that would be good.
Part of it's education. Getting that concept for the community, but it's also that spending the additional funding to have those types of kind of best practice trails, and that'll be part of our process with the new bike pedestrian plan, which will guide the jurisdiction saying, "Hey, this is how we want to build our trails and refurbish our trails once it comes up for maintenance again." While we add that,
And some uniformity with all the different areas.
Exactly.
So
absolutely.
You put signs in one place, put them in the other, because a lot of people go. Normally, he probably rides up here. But there will be times, because I know he's down in my area sometimes, he might ride down there. So if all of the different areas have the same type of signage, you know, stay to the right or whatever.
Well, I think that's what can't be underestimated about that first slide with all the logos.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unique that every road owner, every public works department is a part of this project. Because, you know, like in Vegas, I always say, it shouldn't matter what side of Sahara you live on, because that's usually the county, you know, the county city line. But it's the same thing up here. Like, you shouldn't tell the difference between Mesquite and unincorporated Clark County, unless you want it to.
We want it.
Unless you want it to. I hedge my bet there, you know. But when it comes to, you know, like, you know, we have kids, like, we did middle school crossing guards before the rest of the cities. We should have done that all at the same time. And so that's the purpose of this project, getting everybody together. And really appreciate the time, the thoughtful questions, and always feel free to reach out to me with my email, and happy to create the conversation further.
Could I ask the need for cross guards? Is that something that is addressed in that?
Somewhat. I would encourage people, if they think they need a crossing guard, to say that on Fix-It Clark County, because we are always actively readjusting our crossing guard program. Crossing guards are a vital part of our success on getting kids to school safely.
Thanks. Thank you.
Is NDOT, I didn't know, is a part of this?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they're.
So this does have a bit of an issue with Riverside Road.
Yeah,
it's the road that leads up to the trail up to Gold Butte. Is that the same road?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's totally unsafe the closer you get to Gold Butte. How do we go about doing anything about that?
Well, and like, I don't want to put all my eggs in the do the survey basket, but, you know, it's going to be so hard for people to ignore the results of this.
Okay.
We're about at 5,600 responses.
We're around 6,000.
6,000. You know, and so, like, we have significant community engagement. That's going to help them feed a list of projects.
Okay.
And so, like, that's why it is important, because, like, and it's going to be proportionally looked at. Like, I think you guys have 1,000 people technically in Bunkerville.
Yeah, it's not much.
You know, but, like, you know, if 10 people do it, you know, you're at 1%, you know, there, you know, where, you know, if, you know, six people do it in Henderson, that's nothing for Henderson.
And I think it's critical to hit, because we do, you mentioned, we have this kind of high injury network, we're calling it, where all the crashes do occur. But we want to capture those. Maybe it's not creating crashes, but it is unsafe, and we want to make sure we're capturing that information. This is where it's critical to hit that.
So things with NDOT, then, we've had an abnormal amount of fatal accidents up there this last...
See, that road actually is not NDOT when you get on Gold Butte Road, though.
No, that one's not.
Riverside is, but not Gold Butte.
Right.
And so, and we had this question come up.
But that's what I mean. At least
it
the lead up to getting there.
Well, and we had that question two nights ago. The last question on the survey is, where do you feel unsafe in Southern Nevada? And like
I-15.
You know, circle Vegas.
Yeah, pretty much. we're trying to work on that a little bit. But,
so we can put those things.
Absolutely.
You put it back on.
The chief traffic safety engineer is on the project management team, and her boss is the assistant director of MDOT. Is on the project team for this. So they sit in the meetings and look at the results with us. So
we're going to share that information with each one of our partners. So so NDOT will receive that information.
Well, I'm going to say, NDOT's not responsible for the Gold Butte part of it, but getting to that part is not in the best of shape either.
Right.
But yeah, no, and even if it's on federal land, put the dot on there. We'll figure it out. So, greatly appreciate the time.
Give me all your
aliases. Thank you. There you go.
There's no limit.
You can do 80 at least.
You can do 80. Exactly. You know, so just let us know, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drive safe. Hey, watch out for cows as we go that way.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
There were about 50 on there today when I went down to another farm down there.
Really?
They're all
are
on the road.
Are you bearing your money?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
See?
A lot of cows on the road right now.
Said he saw 50 today.
Well, I saw one last time we left it.
Don't look at it, Richard.
There was one. There was one when I was coming home last night.
Thank you, guys.
And I don't even see him.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't see him until you're on him.
Good night.
Okay, we'll move on to item 6, planning and zoning. There is none. Item 7, general business, discussing the budget.
Make the camel guy.
Okay. I think budget requests look good. It's discussion only. Okay. I'd say much we've had for a while.
It's true. Yeah, we've talked about the kitchen and flooring, restrooms. Plumbing in the building, yeah.
I tried to get an update on if any of this is being done or has been done. The only thing that's ever come through to me was they are doing whatever it is they have to do before they come out and do the parking area at the other side of the park, or have they already paved it?
No.
They haven't paved. They've just put down the what they milled up on another, projects.
Yeah.
They've laid that down.
My understanding is that is...
precursor to...
Yeah. It's the only thing that I've heard on here.
Oh, that's set to go?
That is on the road to be set to go.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
That's right. We got a lot of stuff. It's one thing at a time.
Yeah. One thing, and we don't have to add it or anything tonight, but one thought I had was if we come back around to the renaming of this building, it could probably use a paint update.
No, agreed.
Just on the outside. Just a
touch up. Yeah, it's been a while. She can't write. Somebody's got to write it for her.
Once I can get there.
Oh.
So paint this facility.
Yeah, I think just a little coat of paint and maybe...
And it'll look good to say when the courthouse is renamed.
Yeah, when we get around to that part. But that's for the future, so... Okay. Item 8, comments by the general public. Anything's not on there.
Can you have them come do lights on the path again? There's at least 10.
Have them what?
Lights on the path. So at least 10.
You know what? I come here before they're on, and we go home the other way.
The other way, sure.
So there's at least 10 that there's a problem with. I know at least 5 or 6 that are out, and then there's at least 5 or 6 that are just flashing the whole time.
5 or 6.
Disco
it gives people migraines.
Mm-hmm. 5 or 6
flashing constantly.
Can I have an idea of time, the like distance, like start of the path to the end of the path?
They're just kind of staggered through the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I come out at night and I'll see them real easy.
You're like, what the
heck? Yeah, if I had all those flashing ones outside my house, I think it'd turn into a non-flashing real quick. So I'd get stopped flash. Kind of annoy people.
Did they ever replace that one that was taken out? Because they were,
I don't think so.
Because they were saying, we can't even get it.
Yeah,
yeah, they couldn't get the parts or anything.
I have to go look. I haven't really paid attention to that one gone still or not lately. But.
I know, like it's been down so long.
Yeah, and you get used to adjusting.
Yeah, it's just like, there's nothing there.
Okay. Anything else you want to do to that?
I don't
think so.
Okay, item.
So if I put that, if I put the paint the,
Pave Park Crest.
The building when the courthouse is renamed, where do you want that on the list? Top, bottom, middle, top?
Oh. I think it could probably just go on the bottom for now, just. I guess it depends on how close we are to actually
renaming,
deciding
yeah.
if it's going to be renamed or not.
Get an answer yet.
Yeah. So I could probably just go on the bottom.
We just have to keep talking about it to get it done. And we've already said, yeah, we want to.
I'll tell them.
Do it.
Process for
renaming.
Renaming.
Well, part of that story is Cecil Levitt's wife is not getting any younger.
Yeah, and you'd like
and it'd be nice for her to be alive still when when that's done. So, I mean, he's got a lot of kids. They'll be around when that's done, but she, we don't know her.
But I can say that, and that'll maybe
give him a little boost.
Item 9, next meeting's date is October 2nd, 2025, and item 10, this meeting is adjourned.
Movie.
It is
7:36.
7:36.
You guys went on forever.